It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So you need to seek the Lord, and you need to set your mind on things above. That's a hint of what we're going to do Monday when we start in the book of Colossians. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I think it's one of the greatest two verses you'll see concerning what you are to put a priority. So you don't want to miss Monday when Colossians is kicked off. This is Bert and Alex, and we're doing Fire Away Friday. And that means you call in, and we want to get to your question and that number. And I want to give it right now. The lines are open, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Fire Away Friday. Alex here and Bert here. We're ready to get your questions. And Alex, now I'm here in Tupelo, and I think you were headed somewhere yesterday. Have you gotten there yet?
Well, praise God, I am where I am supposed to be. I greet everybody from the very, very beautiful state of Pennsylvania. And the leaves are so beautiful. By the way, all day tomorrow and Sunday, I'm going to be at Living Hope Church in Somerset, PA. The website is Living Hope Church Somerset, SOMERSET.org. If you want to come out, we've got services and teaching and biblical worldview training that I'm doing beginning at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we would love to see you here in Somerset, PA. But hey, let me throw a little trivia out here for some of you that might know your Pennsylvania geography. Bert, I landed in Pittsburgh, and I'm driving over to Somerset, where I am right now. And I went through two towns. Now, folks, listen up, especially if you love maybe 20th century American culture trivia. I went through Latrobe, PA. Latrobe. And then, not too far after that, I went through Ligonier. Now, each of those municipalities, folks, has a very notable Christian associated with them. Latrobe, very, very famous Christian man from Latrobe. And then from Ligonier, another great minister. And if you can answer those, I'll tell you what I want to do. When I get home Sunday night, I'll sign a copy. Bert and I did a book of 100 Bible questions and answers. That was our first book. And if you can answer one of those and call in, and if you've got a Bible question too, of course, that's what we do on Fire Away Friday, but it's 888-589-8840. What Christian came from Latrobe? What Christian came from Ligonier? There's a 100 Questions book by Bert and Alex that's yours if you can answer either of those.
Okay, well, I can tell you I would not win it unless I did research, okay? And but I love geography and I love trivia, so what a great time. So if you know that, be sure, and you can have a question and that as well. But if you can get mm-hmm. that question, get it in. Richard, tell Richard you want to answer Alex's trivia question, and we'll get you on. Well, Alex, we have people that are calling in, but we still have lines open. That number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's do it. Where do we begin on Fire Away Friday?
Let's go to Kansas. Like there's no place like Kansas, according to what Dorothy said. So let's go to Debbie and talk to her. Debbie, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. My question is, how do you biblically honor your father and mother when they are keeping secrets, breaking promises, and playing favorites?
Okay. Let me just share this with you. Sometimes you honor the position, and pray that they will start living up to the respect that they would deserve if they were. That's what you have to do with some parents. Alex, I've seen it. Pastoring as long as I did, observing what I did, I get you, Debbie. I understand. Yeah. And sometimes you honor the position. Alex, would you respond?
Yeah, and God will honor you, really. There's a book, and I want to recommend this book, and you know, everybody's so busy now that people very often don't have time to read like they once did, but this book is very powerful. It's a book called Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Do you remember that book?
I do. Bert? I read it. Yes, I do. Yes.
Boundaries. When I was working for James Dobson, this book came out, and one thing, and let me just tell you, there is your own personal, you know, emotional stability and sanity, and then if you're married, your spouse gets your first human loyalty, and very often parents they don't like it. I'm talking Christian parents when a man marries a woman or a woman marries a man, and that's a new family that's been established, and you have priorities there. The hierarchy of order, first there's Jesus, then there's your spouse and your family. And parents are not in the top three, really. And yet you want to honor them. And mothers and dads can really resent that a man or a woman has taken a spouse. That book will help you. But, you know, it says in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. Like Bert said very wisely, the office. And I will tell you, when you are unfairly treated and maybe accused and misunderstood, it can hurt. But those can be some of the times of the greatest spiritual growth. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people. I know Bert has too. When way down the road from now, even if they've passed on, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, you did right. You ministered, and you do it as unto the Lord, and you will not have regrets. Even if a parent has been, you know, abusive or something like that, do right, do it as unto Jesus, and God will look after you, and you'll have no regrets. It's an opportunity to grow spiritually.
It is, David. Let me recommend one more book. The author at the time when she was writing this book was right on. There have been questions since then, but it's called Irregular People. Irregular People. And it's by Joyce Landorf again. Alex, it really, she hit the nail on the head. There are irregular people out there, and it is difficult and hard. So, Debbie, we're going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for Debbie. We could hear her hurt, her pain, and I pray she would look unto you. You're, as Chris Tomlin's song, you're a good, good father. You really are. And when our parents are not what they should be, I pray that we as believers would turn to you. You said you'd be a father to the fatherless. And God, I pray you would help Debbie right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Debbie.
Amen.
Let's go to Iowa. Dan, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
I've been married for 26 years, and a woman performed our marriage vows. I wonder, that was before I was a Christian. Am I married in God's eyes? Is it biblical?
Okay. Alex, go ahead with Dan, if you don't mind.
I would say, yes, you made a vow before God and witnesses, and I'm trusting that you've kept those vows. Yes, you are married in God's eyes, because it says, you know, what God hath joined, let not man put asunder. Now, if you've listened to the show long at all, you know that based on our best attempt to show fidelity to the Word of God, neither Bert nor I are fans of women pastors. But No, I would say it's the vow you made and the God that honored those vows, not the officiant that led you through the recitation of those vows. Bert, what do you say?
You're exactly right. It's like baptism. Somebody that baptized someone, a pastor, and then they get off track. They could go to heresy. The baptism is concerning who you are in Christ Jesus, not the individual that's doing the baptism. I'd say the same thing. So, Dan, we hope that helps, brother, and we're praying. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Chad. Chad, thank you for calling.
Hey there. I wanted to answer the question about the town that Alex was traveling through in Pennsylvania.
Oh, go ahead, okay. Alex. Did he look it up or did he know it?
Is it Ligonier, Pennsylvania or Latrobe, Pennsylvania? Which one do you want to speak to?
The Ligonier.
Okay.
One of my favorite theologians was R.C. Sproul.
Woo! Bingo! You get an A for the day. Now, secondarily, can you name the ministry that Dr. R.C. Sproul started?
Ligonier Ministries.
Ligonier Ministries. That's right. Very good. Well, listen, we want to get your contact info because for that astute answer, we're going to send you a copy of our 100 Questions book. But yes, it was our, Bert, I can't remember if it was you or Marvin, but many, many, many years ago, we were at NRB, and we got to interview R.C. Sproul.
That was with Marvin. I did not get to do that interview. I'm glad Marvin got to do it, but I would have loved to. Yeah. Hey, Alex, let me give you a warning. You better come up with some more trivia questions.
Okay.
Okay? We got people on the line wanting to answer questions, and so you think about it, and...
All right.
Okay. Well,
did you have a Bible question too?
No, he did not. He just answered that one. Yeah, he's on the line.
Wonderful. Well, aren't we blessed to be able to have some fun?
We are, and we're going to have some more. Demetrius in Texas. Now, you've got a question yourself and a comment. Go ahead, Demetrius.
Well, I was calling to try to answer that question of Ligonier, but somebody got it before I did. Congratulations.
Well, do you know Latrobe? Do you know that one?
No, I do not know that one.
Okay.
I do not know that one. So I'll stick with the statement, though. Debbie, the woman that called in, it just broke my heart to hear that. On a personal note, my father was an alcoholic, abusive man, and I watched the Lord change his life around, and I had to honor my mother and father through our ups and downs because the scriptures are clear that we're to give them that. But at the same time, do not avoid the truth. Don't give up hope. I just want to say that to her, that she's a sister of the faith, and we're going to bear that burden with her.
Amen.
And just to tell her we love her and we're praying for her.
Thank you, Demetrius. Let me give some more hope. My wife, Jan, her father, when she was 4 years old, left the family and prayed and prayed and prayed. Before he died, he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and I had the privilege of doing the baptism, Alex. God,
amen.
Don't give up. God is working on your end, and you're also working in their lives. We'll be back with more right after the break.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27:4.
American Family Radio.
Ooh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. It is Fire Away Friday, where Bert and I are taking questions all the hour. And hey, I hope you're planning on being in church on Sunday. The weekend's coming up, and be in the house of God on Sunday, as we all should do. The number is 888-589-8840. And Bert, you're steering the ship today. Where do we go?
Okay,
next?
Before we do, I just want to give Brent kudos. You know, we talked about it being a good father. Do you recognize that song?
And he got it up
there. He got it up there. Listen, and I was listening to it earlier today. There are some songs, and now I'm just taking time to do this, that minister to me just so well. The goodness of God is just so real. 10,000 Reasons by, you know, Matt Redman. It just, and good father. So anyway, praise God for who he is. Alex, okay, let's set this up before we go to the next caller. One of the towns has been answered, and that was which one? Which
Ligonier.
Okay, so the other one is what?
Latrobe.
Okay, all of those that are calling in and saying you want to answer the trivia question, if you don't know Latrobe but you knew Ligonier, you could drop off, but if you want to try Latrobe, it's still up for grabs. But until then, we're going to go to Jan in Louisiana. Jan, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are y'all? Thank you all so much for all you do. You're a blessing to all of us, and we truly appreciate y'all. And my question is it biblical to be baptized to go to heaven?
It's biblical to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ in discipleship. It is not a requirement of heaven, a water baptism. But Alex, baptism in the New Testament, you'll see it referred to something else besides water baptism. Has to do with the Holy Spirit, doesn't it?
Well, yes, and it's important to remember the New Testament uses the word baptize or baptism in two senses. Like I've got right here Galatians 3:26-27. It says, "You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That's Galatians 3:26. So how are we children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 27 of Galatians 3, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And it goes on and it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the point. When you put your trust in the Lord and are saved, you put your faith in Jesus, you are baptized into Christ. You're also baptized into the body of Christ. You're also baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that's one sense, immersed, part of, included in Christ Jesus through faith. But the second way that the New Testament uses the word baptism is in what we commonly think of, water baptism. But that is not what gets you saved. And Bert, I believe that Christians ought to get baptized as a public affiliation with the Lord and with the local church. Because what you're saying, when you get baptized, and this is especially true like in some foreign countries that are very hostile to the gospel, Bert, there's parts of the world, if you come out of the closet as a follower of Jesus and you have public baptism, it you've signed your life away.
You really have.
In some places, haven't you?
You have. And in some, even here in America, I know this lady, she's in heaven now, dear friend of mine and Jan's, and she came out of the Mormon, and she was talking about knowing Christ. It was all right until she was baptized. At that point in baptism, it was like, we disown you. So it is a mark. It is a mark of ownership to the everyone. Yes, I'm following Christ. So it's important, but not necessary. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ in obeying him, you will follow in baptism. Let's go to New Hampshire, and it's Kathy who wants to answer the trivia question. Is that right, Kathy?
Yes, sir. I'm ready, and happy Fire Away Friday.
We don't get a lot of callers from New Hampshire, so Kathy, you're making our Friday by calling. Love that state.
Yes.
Ben, thank you. Go ahead, Alex, set it up.
Kathy, what is notable about or who well-known is from La Trobe, PA?
He was a Presbyterian minister who eventually went into media, and his name is Fred Rogers.
Woo!
Yeah, you get an A for the day. That is true. And you know what? It's so beautiful up here. And I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. I really am. And if you want to be lifted up, folks, you ought to read his biography. It's very uplifting. But Kathy, this is an hour ago, I'm driving through there, and you go under this bridge, and it says, "Welcome to the neighborhood." You know,
I was waiting that, man. Waiting on somebody to say neighborhood. If they didn't, I was. Way to go, Alex.
But great, great. Kathy, thank you. And hey, how are things up in New Hampshire? Are the leaves turning?
The leaves are beautiful. They're a little bit duller than in some years past because of a drought situation.
Okay.
But they're absolutely gorgeous. And I just moved back here 4 months ago from Woodland Park, Colorado.
Oh, wow. Woodland
the
Park.
The city above the clouds.
It is. That's awesome. What,
yep.
You,
wow.
Listen, I want to just tell you, you moved down in altitude, but you still stayed in two beautiful states. So, Kathy.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
God bless you.
Yeah, stay
we
online.
We want to be sure
put
your
on
info
hold. Put her on hold.
We're going to send you a book. And that is true. Fred Rogers was from La Trobe, PA.
Okay. You got her on hold. Brent. Okay, on hold. Next we go to Chandra in Ohio? Chandra or Chandra?
Hi, this is Chandra.
Okay, Chandra, go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to thank you both for everything that you do on the radio. I usually am driving home from work this time, so I get to hear your program pretty often and learn a lot from you. And you know, called in initially because of R.C. Sproul and his connection with Ligonier, because I did love listening to him and many years ago when I would. But just one question for you. Since our last caller was in Pennsylvania, I have a daughter who goes to Geneva College in Pennsylvania. And so it is based on Presbyterian Reformed. And so there's a lot of theology that I don't necessarily agree with or understand, you know, from their point of view. And it seems to me a lot of, you know, living in your sin and just always not accepting the fact that Christ died and took it all away, and you don't have to rehash it and revisit it. So just wondering how to kind of combat that theology. You know, I grew up Pentecostal and Baptist and things, so that's kind of not really where my mind goes. You know, I live in the fact that Jesus took it away, and so just the joy of Christ kind of outshines, you know, the rest of it.
Chandra, thank you. You know, Alex, does it come, we're a new creation in Christ. I mean, wouldn't you think about what that means? The old has passed, the new has come, and it continues to come. You know, it's in the past, but it's also in the present. That changes everything, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, let me just say this. I grew up Presbyterian, and even for 30 months, I was interim pastor of a Presbyterian church, and I'm an ordained Baptist. But as I've traveled around, and Bert, you and I have talked about this a time or two, some of the different denominations kind of reflect different personality types almost. And I listen, Bert, I grew up in this 250-year-old Presbyterian church, and, you know, unregenerate, reprobate, total depravity, that was just drilled into us, you know. But one of the things, I've got an article I wrote on revival this morning. We have to unify as the body of Christ.
Amen.
And this is the secret, folks. If you're praying for revival, I can promise you this, and having been in 2,000 churches for the last 27 years, I have seen some legitimate moves of God. And if you want to see the Lord really move, obviously pray, but get together, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Reformed, Arminian. Listen, we all believe Jesus is the Son of God. We all believe He shed His blood on the cross to atone for our sins. We all believe that the Bible is God's holy word. We all believe that we're saved through Jesus alone. And I can guarantee, I believe it not only scripturally, historically, but even in my own travels, if the Christians unify, and I don't mean compromise or throw the gospel out the window, I don't mean, but if the Jesus followers get together and pray together, watch, a revival will ignite.
Amen.
It really will, Bert.
Visit AFR headquarters, and you will find many denominations here. And we love Jesus, we love His word, and we love one another, and we work together, we pray together. Listen, you can do it. And Alex and I want to be a leading duo in saying, God, send a great revival. So, Chandra, hope that helps. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Ohio and talk to William. William, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, brother. Go right ahead.
I've got a question, but real quick first, an added trivia question. What famous golfer who's no longer with us was also from Latrobe, Pennsylvania? Do y'all know?
I know that one. Arnold Palmer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Wonderful. Now I'm learning things.
See, I knew the sports question. I didn't know the Bible question, Alex. That may say something about me. But anyway, Tucker, okay. Way to go, William.
Good job, sir.
Yeah, way to go, William.
Oh, and the question I have is, it's not pertaining to me. It kind of sounds that way. I'm asking for a friend. I'm married, but what would you say to friends who were a little bit older and believers, but have not been able to find a mate, and they don't feel they have the gift of singleness? What's some counsel or encouragement to them?
Okay. I'm not sure Paul had a complete gift of singleness. Alex, have you heard he may have been married and then not? You know, I've heard so many things about Paul. I'm anxious to find out at all.
Yeah.
But listen, it's better to be single than to be married and be at the wrong way. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. Have you ever read in commentaries that, you know, Paul, being a Pharisee, had to have been married at some point?
Yeah.
Maybe he was a widower, you know. But, you know, I have some Christian friends that didn't get married up until their 50s. In fact, we've even got a Christian couple in Virginia, wonderful, godly people, and a godly woman and man, and they didn't find each other till they were in their late 60s, and they got married. But, you know, the Bible says that God will withhold no good thing from us, and marriage is a good thing. And if you're listening and you desire that, pray about it. But I'll tell you, I heard a man say one time, the only thing worse than being single would be being married to the wrong person.
Yeah.
Wait on God, and I know it's humanly, it's not easy, but here's a verse, Matthew 6:33, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. But it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And marriage is honorable. The Bible says marriage is a good thing. Keep Jesus number one. Live that God-honoring, righteous life. You commit it to the Lord in prayer. And I believe somewhere somebody, the godly man who's praying for a Christian wife, somewhere there's a godly woman praying for a Christian husband, and a sovereign God will help you all find each other.
We have a person who we hear on American Family Radio called Nancy Lee DeMoss Wagamuth.
I was just thinking.
Nancy Lee was single. I don't know how. I'm not going to guess age-wise, okay? But she was single quite some time, and then she met this, and they're happily married now, waiting on the Lord. It was, you and ask Nancy Lee, and she'll say it was worth waiting on. So I would say to your friend, to William, it's worth waiting on God's timing and not your own. Thank you so much. Let's go to Oklahoma. And Tucker, go ahead with your question. We may have to answer it on the other side, but go ahead with your question, brother.
Okay, yeah, I just had a question about us as Gentiles coming into the family of God now and how that relates, I guess, with the Israelites. Are we like the Israelites now, becoming children of Abraham in faith? Does that make us kind of on an equal, or do they still hold a higher special place being God's chosen people? And just an explanation on how all that works exactly. I was reading Romans, and it got me curious.
Okay, let me say this, Alex, and you can take us out, and we'll probably answer it. Listen, there is no higher position in Christ than following him by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him unto righteousness. So guess what, Alex? When we trust God and have faith in him, it's counted unto us for righteousness too, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. A great word is a word in Romans 11:17, grafted. grafted into the olive tree. And so in the eyes of the Lord, Jew, Gentile, believer, we're equal.
Amen.
We'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
For a neighbor, would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Amen. Well, listen, this is a first, and man, Brent is doing his homework. Let me see. But let me you this. You ought to have seen Richard and Marty did not know that Brent was going to do that. And when I first saw their faces on the outside, they, what in the world? And then the biggest smile broke over their face, and they started singing along, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, part, if you're just tuning in, the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood theme there, I just, on the way to Somerset, PA, which is where I'm preaching this weekend, I drove through Latrobe, PA. And I'm a big fan of Mr. Rogers. I got to tell this story. I'll tell it really quickly, but he was in Pittsburgh filming his television show, and apparently some guys that were in a gang stole his car out of a parking lot. They didn't know, and they but they brought it back, and they wrote one of them wrote a note and said, "We stole your car. We're so sorry, but we saw the registration card. We didn't know it was you, but Mr. Rogers, I didn't have parents growing up, and you were my father. I grew up really hard, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please pray for me." and they brought Mr. Rogers' car back. And, you know, he was a great Christian in so many ways and just a very famous American figure. But anyway, hence the music there.
That's it.
That's
way
the part
to go.
Of the country I'm in.
Okay. Let's go to Tennessee. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Thank y'all for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Yes.
I was calling because of the lady who had problems with her parents and her mother specifically, I think. And I know how she feels because I grew up with a mother and I never got along. But I was telling the young man that answered the phone that in February, before she died in September, I went by her house to talk to her. It took a friend of mine 45 minutes to talk me into it because there had been such turmoil between the two of us. I went by her house, was very cordial to her, wasn't ugly or anything like that, and then in September, she passed away. I didn't know she was dying, but I have no regret.
Amen.
Oh, I have peace of mind, and you can't buy that.
Yeah,
you God can't. Bless
listen,
you.
Listen. I want to tell you, clear it up on your end. No, they. You can't force them, but you can do it yourself. I just want to tell you it. Yeah, you can do it yourself, and it's for your benefit. All of you who are listening, and you're in that kind of position. Now, I'm not saying you suggest you put yourself back into a position where the pain would be so real, and age-wise sometimes has something to do with it, but get it right on your end and then trust God to work in their lives as well. Sarah, thank you for that. And I hope, Debbie, I hope you're still listening and heard that story. Let's go to Texas and talk to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm just perplexed that creation in the Bible are referred to in the very first sentence of U.S. law, and that was from Sir William Blackstone, the laws of nature and nature's guide, and that no human law should be suffered to contradict these. And I'm just wondering why we don't use that in, like, everything we do, because it seems like so many human laws are contradicting creation in the Bible.
Yeah. If
God bless you.
You are right. Alex, if we could do that, you know, and this is true with identity too. If you could only stay, our identity in nature and in creation is male and female. But then when you get your identity in Christ through redemption, I want to just tell you that it sets you free. And anyone out there that's having a struggle with that, listen, God's made you who you are. And again, the circumstances may be difficult like it was for Debbie and Sarah, but God has made you. And then you get and trust Jesus Christ in redemption and his indwelling Holy Spirit in you. Alex, to find out who you are and live in that is for God's purpose. Listen, it sets you free, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. You know, it talks about in the Old Testament, there arose a generation that knew not Joseph or Joseph's gods. Judges 2:10 says there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord, nor the works he had done for Israel. And Bert, the reason I bring that up is we are that way in America. We're about five generations. I would say we're 50, 60-ish years into an America where children, then adults, then teachers, leaders, they do not know what made America, America. And the caller is right. Blackstone and the founders, do you know, in our founding documents, they quote the Bible 3,154 times. And the man that wrote the First Amendment, and I've taught on this, I've written on this, but Fisher Ames, who wrote the First Amendment, and see, the left loves to say, oh, well, the First Amendment says that Congress will make no law regarding the establishment of religion. And it goes on, it says, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And I've asked 200 college audiences, who wrote that? I've yet to have a student or teacher that knows. But the man that wrote the First Amendment, Fisher Ames, was a Christian. And Fisher Ames said, and I'm quoting, he said, I would that the Bible be taught in all public schools, for it is the best vehicle to teach morality to young people. And here's my point. They don't know that our whole Declaration, Preamble, Constitution, 27-point Bill of Rights, 50 out of 50 state constitutions, they reference God and morals as the foundation of our society. Now, if somebody wants to be a pagan and be lost and die and go to hell, that's their prerogative. But what we can't do or shouldn't let them do is tear down the America that gives them the freedom to safely, prosperously walk around as an unbeliever. And Bert, I'll say this while I'm on my little civics soapbox. We're not a democracy, people. We're not a democracy. We're a Judeo-Christian, objectively moral, representative republic. Now, that's another story for another day. But here's the thing. We're making ungodly laws that are unjust laws that are, frankly, unconstitutional laws. And that, listen to Jenna Ellis. Listen to the Hamilton Corner. Listen to Tony Perkins and Washington Watch. And listen to David Barton and Bill Federer, and let's do our part to save America.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Alex, for that good lesson. Let's go to Texas and talk to Joseph. Joseph, thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about the Garden of Eden, about those beings that God put there after Adam and Eve left. Are those beings still protecting the Garden of Eden? Is that the reason why nobody has found it?
Okay. When they were
That's
driven...
That's a great question.
Yeah. Or is it there, or, Alex, did God do away with it during the flood? I mean, the flood would have come after that.
Yeah. Where the Garden of Eden was, people speculate. And remember that God put an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. Do you know it's been said that, like, at the time of Jesus, in the curtain of the temple that, like, sequestered the Holy of Holies from the other areas, that embroidered on that was a gold image of the cherubim with a flaming sword. Because, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were put out of the garden, God mercifully protected them from eating the tree of life in their fallen condition. Bert, I think that when the flood happened of Genesis 7, the world was just catastrophically buried in water and mud. And I don't think the Garden of Eden as it was exists anymore like that. I think it was probably destroyed in the flood. Now, people wonder if it's in modern-day Iraq. We just don't know. But it's not there anymore.
It's not there. And we have, I think that answers it as best we can do it. When we get to heaven, may find out, okay, this is what he did differently. But that's the most sensible answer that I have come up with, Joseph. Hope it helps you. Go ahead.
If you read Revelation 22, 1 and 2, the river of water of life, and in the midst of the streets on either side of the river of life, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and the fruits of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Bert, Revelation 22:2, is that Eden restored?
Is that
almost like...
It's the tree of life. If it's that, he took it. Now, the land may have left there, but the air, you know what I mean? The plant, it makes sense that that would be the case, Alex.
And this great word, Revelation 22:3, there shall be no more curse.
Amen.
But the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it.
We may not can go to the Garden of Eden or return, but we can go to heaven. through Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, would you do it today? Would you ask Him to forgive you of your sin and ask Him to come into your life? He will do it, and He'll set you free when you really mean it with your heart and you do that. Let's go to Mississippi, and it's Dorothy. Dorothy, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. This is my first time to call, and because I'm usually just riding in the car and I can't, but I'm getting out so I could do that. So I just want to thank you all for what you do. I have two questions. When you were talking about the Presbyterian Church, were you talking about the Presbyterian Church of America or USA? Because they are totally different.
Well, there's probably a wanted picture with my face on it because the church where I was interim pastor, it was PCUSA, which is very, very, very liberal. And I encouraged them to get out, and they did. And we fasted and prayed, and they got to keep their property for a tiny little sum of money. I mean, really. And I, the successful rescue of Buffalo Presbyterian from the PCUSA, we fasted and we prayed. And anyway, it was really a miracle story. And then that church where I'd been interim, they joined the, I think it's called ECCO, Evangelical Covenant Order, which is one of the conservative groupings. Just like Bert, you know, within the Methodist world, there's some very, very biblical conservative Methodists that are no longer UMC, and there's some conservative evangelical Presbyterians that are no longer PCUSA. So the church that I was interim at was PCUSA, but they came out and they're thriving and they're leading people to Christ.
Amen. Dorothy, do you have a question?
Lord, yes, I do. I believe in the rapture, and I was just wondering if a married couple, or maybe they're living together and not married, or they don't believe in Jesus, their children that are not old enough to, you know better, won't they be raptured and the parents left behind?
If I know anything and know how God operates in looking at the scriptures, Alex, He takes care of the children, doesn't he?
He does. And by the way, Bert and I have a brand new book out. It just came out this month on 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy and the end times. So we go into this. We talk about this. But before the age of accountability, you know, I think children are under the protective grace of God.
No matter their parents, no matter where their parents might be.
Very good, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And Bert, people, our book on prophecy that is, folks, brand new, just came out, it's available through AFA, isn't it?
It really is. You can put it in, and I heard they had to reorder some. So they're doing good. So if they're not here right now, they'll be here soon. So you can, the Resource Center, AFA Resource, and you can find it and order that. Let's go at least try to get one more quick question in. Fred, thank you for holding. Got short time, but Fred, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. My niece's husband, he's put it out on social media that we shouldn't support Israel. We shouldn't follow Israel. Because what God said was in the old covenant and that it doesn't pertain to today. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Okay. Alex, don't have a lot of time. That's in your wheelhouse. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Well, I respectfully disagree. I think we absolutely should support Israel. Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse those who curse thee. And then if you look in Romans 3:3, and Romans 11, see, because people will say, even some Christians, they'll say, oh, but they didn't accept their Messiah, and so the Abrahamic covenant is null and void. False. The Apostle Paul says that it's not nullified. Now, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jewish people need to get born again through faith in Jesus, like all the rest of us. But no, I think the greatest favor any president could ever do to the American people is to be a strong friend of the nation of Israel.
And need to look at the Golan Heights and say, hey, if Israel desires that, According to the biblical response and the dimensions, it's theirs as well.
It's their land.
It's their land. So be praying about that, because that's up in the air right now. But thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Thank y'all for playing trivia. Coming Christmas, we'll have one whole program geared to trivia. So get ready for that in a few months. Thank you for listening. Be at church on Sunday and praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.